Hey, Greg. Good to see you. How's it going?
Good, Zach. Thanks for asking. Are you looking forward to our new worship series here at Bloomingdale?
Oh, which one is that?
Oh, the one about Anabaptism. Apparently, we're going to dig deep into our roots and look at the value of our tradition while also imagining our future.
Value of our tradition, eh? I'm not so sure I'm up for that. After all, didn't Jesus come to do away with tradition?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. In his interactions with the scribes and the Pharisees, didn't Jesus often get upset that they were just following human traditions and not God's law?
Can you give me an example?
Wait a minute here. Yeah, I'm thinking of that time in the Gospel of Matthew where the Pharisees didn't like it that Jesus and his disciples weren't following the traditions around ritually purifying their hands before eating. In response, Jesus said to them, "Why do you break the command of God by keeping the rules handed down to you? Hypocrites! Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty since they teach instructions that are human rules."
That's interesting. It seems like Jesus was upset by certain human rules that were becoming more important than God's law. So do you think that means that all traditions are just human rules?
Maybe. I guess that's what I'm wondering. Do we at Bloomingdale really need to think about Anabaptist traditions? Can't we just follow Jesus and not bother with all that history stuff?
I don't know. It seems to me that we always come to know about Jesus from a particular history that has had an impact on us.
Really?
Yeah. Take a good number of us here today. For many of us, the tradition that we came to know Jesus through has roots in the Anabaptist movement. Of course, some of us have had other traditions that we came to know Jesus through, like the Catholic, Lutheran, or United Church traditions. Or maybe we came to know Jesus after having no church background at all. But ultimately, all of us have had our understanding of faith influenced by communities that have a history and a unique set of understandings about faith.
And do you think that's a good thing?
I don't think it's necessarily good or bad. It's more neutral, just a fact of being human. We all have those who have come before us who have influenced our understandings of faith.
So you don't think it's possible then to know Jesus apart from tradition?
No, I don't think so. After all, didn't Jesus grow in stature and wisdom through learning from the richness and beauty of his Jewish traditions? And didn't his message about the coming kingdom of God rise out of Jewish tradition, not apart from it? In Jesus, God brought something new and world-changing, but it was newness that contributed to and built on his tradition.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So what about this? Maybe the problem I'm struggling with is not tradition, but what we do with it.
Say more.
Well, as you said before, Jesus' problem seemed to be with those who made certain traditions more important than seeking after God's law. Maybe the issue isn't with traditions, but with making sure that our traditions are always open to the way that God's law might call us into a new future through the Spirit's help. Maybe our traditions are most helpful when they nurture our imaginations for following God instead of stifling them.
I like that. So, do you think this worship series might help us imagine a faithful future as followers of Jesus?
I think so. In fact, I'm looking forward to this now. But, Greg, by the time this worship series is over, I'm not going to have to give up my smartphone, am I? Good morning.
Good morning.
faith of the martyrs, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. The word martyr likely evokes for many of us images of someone who endures intense persecution and suffering for their faith, and indeed, this is the most common meaning of the word. Interestingly, however, the word martyr comes from the Latin word for witness. So we might also call this song Faith of the Witnesses. It struck me as I thought about the opening stanza to this hymn, just how appropriate an Easter hymn it is. In this season of Easter, after all, we celebrate the faith that faces the trial of persecution and death and comes out alive, living still, a witness that cannot be defeated and kept down. Jesus is, for us Christians, our supreme witness, God with us to witness to God in flesh. Every martyr, every witness to God since Jesus has been a martyr whose living and dying seeks to be a participation in the living and dying, and so also the hope of resurrection that comes through Christ Jesus. Singing of the faith of the martyrs, then, is singing of a resurrection faith, a faith that lives still. There's another line in this hymn that stood out to me, a line that did not so much sound a note of joyous triumph, but rather a note of challenge. Faith of the martyrs, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. This refrain is quite a strong promise of our corporate commitment to upholding the heritage of faith passed down to us from those witnesses to Jesus who came before us. For years, Mennonites have been inspired by this heritage through the mid-17th century compendium called The Martyr's Mirror. A copy of it is right here, the church copy. The book put together by the Flemish Mennonite, Tielman van Bracht. And in this book were many accounts of the faith of the martyrs from the early church all the way up until the time of the Anabaptists and Mennonites. The accounts within this book testify to bold, strong faith of disciples through the ages that stood firm while in prison cells and before fire and sword, boldly proclaiming Jesus as Lord. Today, the use of this text is likely not nearly so popular as it once was. I suspect we might lose something important by not paying attention to it anymore, comfortable as we are at home in our world. And yet, at the same time, perhaps it's okay that this text does not occupy us too readily. After all, if used wrongly by modern privileged folks like ourselves, a text like the Martyr's Mirror could encourage a kind of false martyr complex, rather than help us see just how privileged we are and help us see our responsibility that privilege lays on us. In contrast with the early Anabaptists, martyrs who had sought separation from the world and from the corruption they encountered in it, most of us today live quite integrated with the dominant culture and have considerable social and economic power. In fact, the history of Anabaptism and the development of the Mennonite tradition is a history not only of martyrdom and suffering, but also, through time, success and development and involvement in the world. Which then raises the question, what does it mean for us here today to be true, as we sang, to the faith of the Anabaptist and Mennonite martyrs today? In what sense, if any, or at all, can we say today that we want to follow Jesus as Anabaptists? Over the next 6 weeks at Bloomingdale, we will be pursuing something of an answer to these questions by way of looking back at and examining the roots. And here, maybe I'll just ask if we could put the screen on. I have got some slides to go with this here. See if we can get a picture up of the roots. And I've got the clicker, so I can do it, Sue. There we go. Looking back and examining the roots of Anabaptist and Mennonite faith that have in one way or another shaped the congregation that has gathered in the Bloomingdale area for the past 200 or so years, And so we're going to look at important strands of the Anabaptist Mennonite root system, like believer's baptism, the life of peace, priesthood of all believers, the regular reading of Scripture, and approaches to mutual accountability and conflict resolution. So these are some of the roots that we'll dig into. At the same time, as we look back at these strands of this root system, we will also look forward. Look forward in order to imagine the future that God has in store for us as we move into the next stage of our congregational life together. How can we be true to the faith or the roots of our Anabaptist Mennonite witness? How can we stay rooted in that faith tradition while also remaining open to the spirit of life that gives us wings and sets us free for new forms of faithful discipleship in our time? I hope that by the end of our series, we will have learned the importance of holding both together, nurturing a connection to our roots, as well as encouraging the freedom to innovate, to grow wings, and move into new ventures of faith as a church. To get us thinking a bit and finding this balance between roots and wings this morning, and how we might stay true to the faith of our forebears, I want to lead us in a congregational exercise that I first encountered through St. Jacob's Mennonite Church pastor Kevin Dirksen at a Silver Lake winter retreat. The exercise starts with us first taking time to think about the strengths and dangers, which Barb mentioned this morning, the strengths and the dangers that are inherent in the roots, our tradition, and the strengths and dangers that are inherent in the wings that we can grow, or our impulse to innovation. So I'm going to do that now. I'm going to get our whiteboard out here, and I'm going to do some sharing here. So we might, I don't know if we'll need the mic passed around or not, but I'll start with maybe the congregational mic, and then Greg, I think, do you still have the wireless mic? Oh, it's right there in the front. Our ushers this morning, if you wouldn't mind bringing the mic around, and I'm going to ask us some questions. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start by drawing an axis. Okay, and I'm going to put, let's make sure I get this right. Yep, roots and wings. And remember, roots for us are kind of symbolizing our tradition, our background, and the wings are representing our need to innovate, to do new things over time. So what I want to do is I want to start off in this column here, in this section here, by talking about strengths of roots. So what are roots good for? What do they help us have in life? Stability. Identity.
Nurturement.
So nurture. Yeah. Any other ideas?
Common understanding.
So kind of a connectedness. Common understanding. Connectedness.
Security.
Security. Laurel, did you have one?
They anchor us. They hold us.
Anchoring. Right. Thinking of a tree, right? Yep. Any other ideas? What are roots good for?
Faith.
Faith. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Reaching out.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, and do you think maybe if I might play with that a little bit, maybe that anchoring is what allows, for example, a tree, right, to reach out, right? So it can, the strength of the of the anchoring allows it to reach out. Yeah, I'll just do that. But the roots also reach out too, don't they? Yeah. Is there another hand that I missed?
Theo.
The roots suck up the water. That's right. It sucks up the water. Yeah, I'm going to write that down. Sucks up the water. Yep. Oops. Apparently I can't spell. Water. Yeah, the nurturing.
It gives you a starting point to always refer back to.
Okay. Yep. Starting point. Gives a starting point.
Which is kind of related to, it also gives us something to pass on. So sort of the idea of something that can be carried through generations.
Okay. Yep. Allows to pass on or pass forward. Let's write that. Okay. Maybe this is good. This is a good start. So let's move. So this is strengths, right? Let's move to dangers. What could be a danger or a limitation? Maybe let's even put it that way. It could be a danger, it could be a limitation. What might roots be limited by just on their own? On just the roots. Okay. Choke out, you said. Choke out growth. Okay? Yep. Walnut tree, okay. Yep.
Rigid conformity.
Say that again.
Rigid conformity.
Interesting. Okay.
Fear to change.
Right, we're moving through the metaphors, you know. Sometimes it's the real roots, sometimes it's, yeah, which is great, yep. Fear to change, did you say? Yeah.
I mean, the obvious, the roots keep you stuck, like you're in one
place. Stuck in one place, yep. Yep.
Entanglement,
interesting, yeah. Feels like there's a lot there in that one that we could unpack. Yeah. Sometimes you need to be free from that entanglement before you can be nourished more, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Interesting. Other things that are limitations of roots? Just environment. Okay. So maybe is it kind of like limited environment? Like a... Ah, okay, so now we're getting into, yeah, the soil that it's in. So maybe there's a limitation to the environment the roots are in. And depending on the nature of that environment, it might not necessarily be good. Yeah. This one? Choke out growth. Yeah. Closed-mindedness, sure, yeah. Rigid conformity might be in that too, but let's do closed-mindedness, yeah. Okay, let's stay with that, and let's move to wings. What do wings enable us to do? What are their strengths? Fly, they enable us to fly. Yep. Freedom. See a broader picture. Yep.
New experiences.
New experiences. New growth.
Experience new places.
New places. New adventures. What's that?
Comforting.
Comforting?
Under the mother's wings.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yep.
Maturity.
In Georgia, I heard you say new places, or there was new places, and Georgia said new adventures. I like that. exercise. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, you're moving. I mean, yeah. Anything else about wings?
Stretching,
sure. Okay, awesome. Let's move on to dangers or limitations for wings.
Tiredness.
Tiredness, interesting. Huh, so there's something.
Falling too far.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Falling.
Vulnerability,
yeah. You're up in the sky, there might be other predators there. Vulnerability. Sorry, am I mighting? Sorry? You might lose your way. Oh, that was Ralph's, okay. Let it be known, that was Ralph Weber's suggestion, yeah.
Well, yeah. Like Icarus, you can fly too close to the sun, so you get too far away.
Okay.
Too far away, you get burned.
Yep. Let all that be known, children. No, I'm just kidding. Too far away. Yep. What are the other dangers of wings?
Too far away from the roots.
Okay. Yep. Too far away from roots.
No sense of home.
Okay. No home. Yep. Someone might come up with a word fickle, maybe, like you're here, you're there, right? There's the images often in the New Testament about blown around, right? Yeah.
Your environment could also be dangerous if you've got a hurricane.
Ah, okay, yeah. Yeah, dangerous environments.
Winds break easier than roots. Wings can break.
Break, yeah. Wings break. Maybe a bit easier because they're more exposed. Yeah.
Too much freedom.
Yeah, too many options. Yeah, you get overwhelmed. Yeah. Where do I go now? I'm over here. Yeah, that's really good, Georgia. Too much freedom. What's that?
I said, now we're standing Mennonite.
Well, that's interesting, though, given the Anabaptists, right? Freedom was a very important. Yeah. Flighty? Yeah. Flighty, yeah. Exactly. Okay, this is really good. This is a good list that we've got here. So one of the interesting things in Kevin's presentation, he shared a bit about how something he learned from Betty Priest. So many of you will know Betty Priest. She works with Creedence & Co. She's a conflict change and leadership specialist. And she has talked a lot about polarities. So polarities, in this case, we're dealing with a polarity in some ways, roots and wings. It's these kind of different poles or these different impulses that we have. And when these two tendencies meet, they can sometimes come into conflict. So Betty had been telling or teaching Kevin, and he passed this on to us, that sometimes what happens when we deal with these polarities and when they come into conflict is whatever polarity we're starting with, we tend to argue from our strengths to the weaknesses of the other. So we'll start, let's say we're a rooted people and we are all about roots. And so we start by saying, well, yeah, but look at how stable we are. We have a common identity, we're secure, we're anchored, you know, we have a nurturing environment. And you people who want wings, you're gonna get tired, you are fickle, you're flighty, you know, you're too far away from your roots. Right, so we don't listen maybe from the position of what the strengths of the wings might be. We listen from we kind of push against the weaknesses of the position that we're against. Similarly with wings, we might say, "Oh, you're so rigid. You know, you're so stuck in one place. You know, you're so closed-minded." Right? We don't start with acknowledging the gifts that come with the roots. So, drawing this all back to our worship series that we're starting, I hope that when we begin to examine the root system of our Anabaptist Mennonite tradition, that we'll be able to identify the gifts and the dangers there, while also discerning the gifts and dangers involved in innovating and finding new ways to follow Jesus as Anabaptists. So I hope that this has been a helpful framework to kind of orient our thinking, and then as we get into some of the specific elements of our worship series, we can kind of have it in the background and maybe come back to it, especially in worship response time and in other times as we move through that. So, amen.